I'm your host, Brittany McDowell, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of our PAC Politics Podcast. If you don't know, our podcast is brought to you by our organization, our United Resource PAC. We are a tax-exempt political organization. On today's show, I want to briefly talk about this idea of bipartisan COVID relief. We've been hearing a lot of talks around bipartisanship in reference to this next stimulus package. But look, bipartisan support in Congress is, quite frankly, not as important as actually rising to meet the challenge we face. So I'm going to talk about that very briefly on today's show, and I do mean very briefly. And also, I have a resource for you to check out, a resource that can help you check the status of your most recent economic impact payment if you have yet to receive it. So that's what I have in store. Let's go ahead and get this episode started. You're listening to another episode of our PAC Politics Podcast. It's about that time for the next episode. This is Brittany. Just wanted to shoot you a quick reminder. Look in the description box of this episode and you can find a link to our website. On our website, you can find our latest blog posts. You can find our contact information. You even want to make a contribution, you can go over there and do that as well. You can find out the policies we are looking at and targeting as an organization. You know, I say all the time that we are a tax-exempt political organization. If you want to know more about that, again, go on over to our website, our-pack.com, where you can find out everything you want to know. You can do everything you want to do. We will gladly welcome you on our website with open arms. Again, check out our website in the description box below. Let's talk about very briefly this idea around the next COVID stimulus being bipartisan in nature. I do not believe that the focus needs to be on bipartisanship as much as it needs to be on actually addressing sufficiently, effectively, and efficiently the challenge we face, the challenge of COVID, right? And not just the challenge that we face in that it's ravaged our bodies, it's also ravaged our economy. And again, we cannot focus as much on bipartisanship as much as we need to focus on actually addressing the issue. I think it's, quite honestly, I think it's convenient that, for instance, when we saw those tax cuts passed under Trump, bipartisanship wasn't thought about, right? We always think about bipartisanship at the most inconvenient times for the American people. We want to talk about being bipartisan when it comes to getting health care. We want to talk about being bipartisan when it comes to tax credits for the average American. We want to talk about bipartisanship when it comes to providing financial relief to Americans when a pandemic is ravaging the not just our country, but our entire world. We want to talk about bipartisanship when it comes to funding education. We want to talk about bipartisanship when it comes to feeding hungry children, right? But we don't talk about bipartisanship when it comes to those Martini tax cuts, right? We don't think about it then. Super convenient, super freaking convenient. I did an entire episode talking about the lessons that we can learn about COVID relief
simply by examining what the Trump administration did. And while I think that those are important lessons, and feel free to go back and listen to that episode, I think that the real lesson that needs to be learned here by the Democrats is that they cannot be the party of capitulation. If they do capitulate, they need to capitulate not to the other side, but to their actual constituents. I do understand that, yes, there is the donor class that they have to worry about, because unfortunately how we have, how we do our campaigning in this country, campaign finance does require you to have mass amounts of capital, and that capital has to come from donors, right? And I could kind of go down this rabbit hole of talking about why you need to get involved and why you need to be considered part of the donor class, regardless of how much you can give, but I'm not going to do that, right? Because I'm not focused on that during this episode. But I will say this, that I think it's unrealistic to think that they won't consider their donor class, but I think that we cannot afford for the donor class to be the exclusive focus for politicians. Democrats have an opportunity here to really capitalize on keeping and power, political power, for more than just what the historical norm is. The historical norm is, you know, you keep power for one cycle and then it shifts to the other side because voters are unhappy, and then it shifts back and forth, kind of like a ping pong ball. Considering the extraordinary circumstances and conditions in which we find ourselves, if Democrats actually rise to meet the challenge, they can buck the norm. They can go against the historical norms that we have seen in politics in this country. And I say this not as someone who is like a super Democrat supporter. I'm not, right? Like, and I'm being very personal with you, right? I have, there are ideals on the right that I think are that have mass amounts of value, not just for me personally, but for our society. But then there are actions on the right that I think are completely crazy that I cannot get down with, right? On the left, there are some ideas that I'm like, these people are so far removed from reality. I don't know if they're smoking something, right? But then at the same time, there are actions that I see on the left that are like, hey, you know what? Well, I think that some of their ideas are crazy. They actually, more often than not, actually try to help people in a way that can be beneficial to them. So again, I'm not saying this, you know, I'm not saying this is someone who is like this super Democrat. I talk all the time about the problems I have, for instance, with Nancy Pelosi. If you listen to any of our episodes last year, towards the end of the year, when they were in negotiations around the second COVID stimulus that we received, I made it very clear. Yeah, like, Nancy's right on this, right? She's when you consider her position, as opposed to the other side, I think that she is the party with kind of the right idea here. But personally, I think Nancy would be on the corners doing abortions herself if she could, right? She's not someone I personally, but it's not about me personally. It's about our country. And that's where a lot of us have to get to. But speaking about our country, if the Democrats play their cards right, if they stop capitulating and stop kind of, you know, saying we have to be bipartisan, like, Republicans were not bipartisan when they wanted to accomplish their agenda. Democrats need to understand, and they need to understand that there is a lot of frustration when you consider, I talk about all the times about how politics is about perception, and it's about optics and what you see. What Americans have recently seen from the other side, for a lot of us, that still has lit a fire within us that is burning and fuels an anger against the other side, especially as we look at, for instance, what's going on with the Senate impeachment trial. We all saw that video yesterday, right? That recalled the events of January 6th. And for a lot of us, well, you know, for a lot of people, you know, you had the event on the 6th and then you hear about it and then it kind of goes away and you just kind of like in your memory, it kind of fades. But for a lot of us, that was brought up again yesterday. Now, I'm not saying you like need to do it in a way of like manipulating people, but as they say, don't let a crisis go to waste. Right? Republicans don't let a crisis go to waste. They took the crisis of 9/11. And how long have we been at war? Right? So take this crisis and politically use it to your advantage. You can have the best of both worlds. You can have political power and you can retain that power. But you can only do that if you make your constituents happy. So this idea of capitulating and saying, oh, well, you know, let's negotiate on this or, you know, and now to their credit, I will say, given that we are, it has been confirmed that we are going to approach this next form of stimulus using reconciliation as opposed to kind of normal rules and procedures. That is one thing that, again, to their credit, demonstrates that okay, they're kind of bucking the norm here. You know, they're doing things, they're kind of playing ball how the other side played ball. But they need to remember that. Don't waver from that. Because the ball is in your court and Democrats need to learn this lesson. Otherwise, come 2022, we are going to go back to the historical norm where something, whether it's the House or the Senate, will shift to control of the Republicans. And you think we have gridlock now while you have some things to your advantage? We will certainly have gridlock then, right? So they need to keep that in mind because this idea around we need bipartisan support for the next, that's crazy. What are you smoking, right? Like, no, that's utterly absurd. Fact is, most Americans support not just another round of COVID relief, but they want that next package to be big, right? We've already heard and seen Janet Yellen come out and talk about, yo, well, she didn't say yo, she said, hey, she didn't say hey either, but she said, you people, she didn't say that either. Just kind of putting that in there. But she said, look, we can actually be in a better position come 2022, rather than riding this out till 2025. If we actually go big, if we see this $1.9 trillion plan passed. So these people coming out here peddling this $600 billion plan, you're smoking. You're either smoking something or you seriously underestimate the intelligence of the American people. We tried going small before and it doesn't work. Most Americans do not support going small. So these people come into the table thinking, oh, I know I want to go big, but I got to go small because I got to be bipartisanship. That's not what you should be focusing on. Don't focus on being bipartisan. Focus on actually addressing the issue. That's the equivalent of a firefighter coming to a burning house saying, okay, this house is burning. I have the hose. It's connected to the thing, to the pipe, whatever, wherever the water comes from. And then, you know, I'm going to turn it on and I'm going to sit here and I'm going to, you know, put out this fire. But rather than put out the fire, I need to think about, you know, how much water I need to use, right? Like, no, just turn on the hose. And yes, you might have some water damage, but you can deal with water damage to a certain extent, but a completely burned down house, to the best of my knowledge, I don't think you can do anything with that. Americans support a massive relief package. I don't understand why there's a question. The only bipartisanship that Democrats need to be worried about is the bipartisanship of the American people. Not just getting bipartisanship buy-in or bipartisan buy-in from the other side. Just my opinion. Hey, so I want to tell you about our email list. Our email list is one of the best ways that you can stay in touch with us. If you look in the description box of this episode, you'll find a link to join our email list. By joining our email list, you'll get access to updates about policy and politicians that we support and oppose. When we have events, you'll get to know about those events via emails. And we'll just generally share news with you. We won't spam your inbox, I promise. And also, we inform you of our newest podcast episodes, which come out Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, by the way. Anyhow, joining the email list is not only easy, but it is absolutely free. Look in the description box of this episode. You'll find the link. Click it. Give us your name and your email. That's all we need. And you'll be in. So please join our email list and connect with us today. All right. Thanks. Today's resource that I am sharing is a resource that we have mentioned and promoted several times on our podcast before. What it is an official government tool that will help you confirm if the IRS and Treasury have sent your economic impact payment, your stimulus check. But in addition to that, it will also let you know the method by which they sent it, how they sent it, if they sent a direct deposit, and if you didn't get it, maybe it went into a wrong account. And if that's the case, it will also inform you of what will happen. Maybe they mailed you a check and it's in the mail and you know, your mail just, who knows, right? But if I don't have that information, but this tool does, it again is an official government tool. To get access to it, if you want, if you look in the description box of this episode, you will find a link to join our mailing list. We will not spam you. Our mailing list is an awesome way to keep in contact with us. But most importantly, it's an awesome way to get access to this tool. It's great, again, for you if you have not yet received your economic impact payment, as well as other people. It might be something that you want to get access to, so that way you can share it with them. The resource also does mention the other kind of option that some people are going to have when it comes to actually getting your economic impact payment. Some people will get checks. Some people will get direct deposits. Some people who are eligible will end up having to utilize a tax credit. If you want more information, not just on how you'll get your payment, if you'll get it when, you also, you know, might want to get information on this tax credit, which this tool will also provide you information on. So again, if you look in the description box below, click the link to join our email list. You'll just have to give us your name, your email address, and as soon as you sign up, we'll get you a welcome email, and then like within a few seconds after that, you'll get the email with access to this resource. So you can find that in the description box below. I hope the resource is of benefit to you or someone you know. All right, so that is our show for today, Wednesday, February 10th, 2021. I hope that you walk away from today's show understanding that while bipartisanship is great in this situation, it does not need to be our focus. Our focus as a country needs to be on sufficiently, effectively, and efficiently combating COVID-19. We need to kick it to the curb. We've been with it for long enough, right? And when it comes to our economic recovery, we've already tried going small. That didn't work. And so if you have people who want to continue to do the same, something that we've proven has not been effective at adequately addressing the issue, try another time to be bipartisan. Now isn't exactly the time. So that said, I hope that you kind kind of, you know, at least took that away from today's show, I also hope that the resource, if you have yet to receive your stimulus, I hope that it was of benefit to you. And if you know somebody who it will be of benefit to, please do share that resource with them as well. I will see you not on Friday and not on Monday, because we are off on this Friday and next Monday. So you won't hear me for another week, I hope. In the meantime, in between time, you stay safe. You wear your face mask. You use your hand sanitizer. Wash your hands. And if you have a hazmat suit, you know what I'm going to say, right? Break that sucker out, because I'm telling you, COVID is real. I know two people who have died from COVID, and I don't want you to be the third. So that said, stay safe. Please, please, please. I'll see you next week. And thank you for listening to another episode of our PAC Politics Podcast.